Welcome to AgTech 360, where we take a 360-degree view into emerging agriculture technologies that matter, with our host, Adrian Percy.
So this is Adrian Percy with AgTech 360, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Professor Ricardo Hernandez, who is an associate professor in the Department of Horticulture at NC State University. Welcome, Ricardo.
Thank you, Adrian. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and it's great to have you here because I think today what we'd like to do is explore this topic of controlled environment ag, what that kind of phrase means, what it comprises, where we're going in that particular sector in agriculture, and maybe some of the challenges and consequently some of the research that you're working on. So let's just start with the basics. You know, tell us what controlled environment ag is and what actually inspired you to pursue a career in that area.
Absolutely, Adrian. The way I define controlled environment is the intersection between environmental plant physiology and technology in terms of controlled environment technology. Basically, the plant uses a lot of cues to grow, develop, and for a benefit, produce yield. Right? And those cues typically come from the environment, either the above environment, air environment, or below the ground environment. So controlled environment ag basically optimizes that environment, you know, using technology to steer the plant for our benefit, right? To give you an example, you may be able to change the temperature. That's the most basic environment that has been controlled for a long time. You may be able to change the light. You may be able to change the nutrient or the way the plants take up nutrient, for example, hydroponics. You may be able to change the CO2 concentration. However, typically when you talk about controlled environment, people imagine this high tech, a lot of inputs and a lot of technology involved. And yes, that's one of the type of controlled environments, a very fun type. However, there is multi-layer of controlled environments. It can be low-tech controlled environments that allow for season extension, like high tunnels in the field. And you can have mid-tech controlled environments, such as greenhouses with some basic cooling. You can have very high-tech controlled environments, such as closed-type greenhouses that recirculate the air to maximize the energy and maximize the environment. Or you can go all the way up to vertical farms or grow chambers where you're really tuning and changing all the aspects of the environment. So controlled environment is basically maximizing plant growth by managing that environment.
Yeah, so you basically have this spectrum of control at different levels, right up to, as you said, vertical farms, which are completely enclosed with completely artificial light and temperature control, humidity control, all of these different things. And then at the other end of the spectrum, I guess, some basic kind of plastic hoop houses and this type of thing. So this is obviously, at least in some of those more high-tech areas, really part of the, you know, ag-tech kind of revolution right now, and there's a lot of talk about vertical farming. But I think in general, there's a much bigger uptake, right, of controlled environment agriculture right now. Is that correct?
Absolutely. There is more effort around it. And a lot of it comes from the continued challenges that we have of growing crops outdoors. And also the other area comes from actually the recent developments in technology, right? So we're talking about the ability to produce photons of light using LEDs, you know, that's a recent development, as well as very high efficiencies in managing and conditioning air, right? So that allows for making these controlled environments more economically suitable, right? But yes, it's a spectrum of technology.
And presumably also with things like water conservation and these types of topics as well, there is a certain advantages to using these types of systems.
Yeah, absolutely. So the direct advantages is that you are able to maximize yield per area of production. Right? And an example is in greenhouse tomatoes, you know, they are able to produce 10 times the amount of tomatoes per area than the tomatoes outdoors, right? So practically in the U.S. right now, the majority of the fresh market tomatoes come from a controlled environment, right? Well, in the past, we used to have a very big portion of the tomato coming from field. But now the field tomatoes are serving a different market, and most of the fresh market tomatoes come from controlled environment. So that's a clear trend, right? But yet, there's also other benefits, you know, water conservation, right? So when you think about hydroponics, if you're not familiar with hydroponics, you may think, well, you need a lot of water to produce. You need access to a lot of water, but the efficiency of producing is a lot higher, which means you get more yield per liter of water that you use in controlled environments, right? It's important to understand that there's big savings there. But we also have challenges, right?
And before we get to those, Ricardo, because I do want to talk about the challenges, but the second half of my question was, how did you get into controlled environment? What is it about perhaps your background or, you know, your experiences that have really interested you and inspired you to go into this area?
You know, that's a very good question, Adrian. And I grew up in a city in Mexico, and basically my house had a 5 feet by 5 feet concrete backyard. And growing up, I was not exposed to agriculture. I was not exposed to gardening. You know, I was not exposed to any of them. There was something in me that wanted me to work around food production. I went to college and I studied in mechanical engineering. I kept thinking about food production, so I changed my major to agronomy. And I work in the area of agronomy. I had some opportunities to get into more plant physiology and then eventually found my passion on using technology to grow plants. Right, so to tell you exactly why I was interested, I really can't explain that. I found out that it's typically not normal for a kid to be interested in growing food. But that's
eating it, maybe, yes, but not growing
yes.
it, right?
So. But I gravitated back to the technology part of it, you know, and I think I found my passion, you know, that niche of technology with plant physiology. So that's how I got into the controlled environment, yes.
And I guess those early studies in mechanical engineering must have been quite useful, because I always think of controlled environment ag as really an interdisciplinary exercise where you've got lots of different engineering, data science, agronomy, biology topics coming together at an intersection to really be effective there.
It also allows me to communicate with other experts in the field of engineering. You know, perhaps understand the language a little better, and that is for sure a benefit when we're trying to collaborate. But I'm by no means any expert in any kind of engineering.
So let's go back to the challenges. I mean, when I think of traditional outdoor ag in the field, we all know or can imagine some of the challenges that we face in terms of land availability, conservation, soil quality, water availability, climate change, and other factors which are really providing headaches to a lot of growers around the world. So on the surface, controlled environment ag must seem a fantastic alternative where you can control a lot of these different elements, but there are challenges. So can you talk a little bit about the challenges you see for growers in that area?
The number one challenge, and I think there is no, is energy consumption of these systems, right? And some of them need a lot more energy, right? The higher tech environment, some of them need less energy, but always more energy than most of the time than fuel produce. So that's a challenge. You know, we are currently have an energy challenge around the world. So this is a system that requires that energy. Another challenge is also we have the access to technology, but I think we don't have the right access to genetics that can match that technology to really drive the benefit of controlled environment. You know, we typically use right now cultivars that were bred through many generations for field production to be uniform even when the conditions are changing outside, right? So they have very uniform genetics, but perhaps we need other types of cultivars because we can control the environment, so we may be able to drive that environment. So the put that as a challenge is because even after putting additional technology and resources, we're still not maximizing the highest potential of our controlled environment, right? So that's another challenge.
So on the topic of plants, though, would that include, for instance, the ability to use automated harvesting systems in a greenhouse? Because one of the things I found was fascinating seeing some work that was going on in industry was to develop plant architecture so it was actually easier to pick cucumbers, say, using a robot, or pick peppers using a robot. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
So you actually helped me move into the next challenge, which is labor. And this is a challenge is across the agricultural systems, right? So, and it's also a challenge in controlled environment. But it's also an opportunity. Right now, labor is still perhaps the second most highest expense in a controlled environment, you know? And however, it's also an opportunity because since you have control of the design of this environment and the infrastructure, then there is an opportunity to optimize, create automation for it. We're still not there, but I think that opportunity is there.
And the labor one's very interesting because I guess on one hand, working in a covered environment could be a good thing compared to working in an open field, but also seeing the humidity and the temperature in some of these structures is it can be quite uncomfortable to work in. And I guess in general, availability of labor to do these types of tasks that you're kind of you would describe is quite difficult right now.
Yes, it is. It is.
So you've been doing research in this area for many years. Can you tell us a little bit about your kind of research topics and maybe a couple of examples of the types of things that you're trying to solve for?
Absolutely. I divide my research program in a couple of areas, right? The one that is the most applied, right? So trying to do research that create immediate benefit for the stakeholder. And then we have the ones that make bigger impact, but also may require more time. And then among those two, the one area that I focus is on using control environment to currently provide benefit to our current food production supply chain. Right now, if we were able to produce in outdoors, many systems, outdoor production systems have been optimized for a long time, right? So we have good genetics for the field, we have machinery, we have ways to create varieties specific to climate zones and planting dates, so highly optimized, right? So I'm looking for ways to use control environment to continue help that existing supply chain, right? So we have a big program in the science around propagation in control environment to feed these existing systems, right? So producing that young plant, right? And the idea is to develop a young plant with a backpack, right? So produce the young plant in a controlled environment and use the environment to train that plant so when it moves to the field, has a head start, right? Not only you provide a plant that may have the reduction in risk while growing, when it moves from a controlled environment to the field, you also may create a plant and mitigate risk that are intrinsic with the field in the amount of time they're in the field, right? Reducing the amount of time that they're in the field by producing a second in control environment. And also, so plant propagation is something that we do in the lab a lot. But another area that perhaps is not as common, we also work with companies that actually use control environment to develop their own research to actually contribute to supply chain and food production. For example, we work with companies that do a lot of breeding, right? So we use the science of control environment to improve their breeding methods, you know, to speed up the way they create new cultivars that will eventually be in the field. We have those different areas of production. But this knowledge of environmental plant physiology with technology is even moving a little bit more also towards agrivoltaics, for example. Right? Suddenly, we want to produce energy, a challenge, and we also want to produce food, another challenge, and we want to use the same area, right? So then...
So just explain what agrivoltaics is.
Absolutely. Agrivoltaics is the idea of using a device to collect energy, like a panel, photovoltaic panel, to collect energy, and at the same time, use the land under the panel to grow crops. You know, that sounds great, but there's big challenges we have to achieve with that. Because you need to, if you collect the energy, you remove the sun that is actually going to be used for the plant to grow. And putting a solar farm and eliminating an actual food farm, that is just against what we're trying to achieve, which is more food production after 2050, right? So we're creating new ideas to actually use part of the sun for energy and the other part for actually food production and growth to limit the penalty in yield in the plant while still collecting some energy.
And is this for outdoor growing
this
or for growing in a greenhouse? Because I guess in a greenhouse then you'd have the opportunity to actually power the greenhouse with the energy coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. So it can be for both, right? In the greenhouse, you can collect energy at the same time and grow plants. The challenge with that is that the confinement of the greenhouse is already a penalty in light. Right, so growing inside a greenhouse, you're already cutting 30% of the available light just because you're inside of a greenhouse. It doesn't matter if your glass is super transparent, 95% transparent, you're still cutting already 30% of the light. So if you anything that you do is to further reduce that amount of light, will be a direct penalty in the plant. Right, so it's very location specific, very season specific, and very plant specific to make it work in the greenhouse. The idea is, what are we doing in the field using this knowledge of changing the light and changing the plant environment? And actually, we can, because in the yield, we have a lot more light. In the field, we have a lot more light. So and a penalty or reduction in that light will contribute to a smaller penalty in the yield. And we can use technology to actually filter light and use a portion of the spectrum to grow plant and the other portion for energy. And they're not longer competing for light. then we may have good ways to continue to push the science of controlled environment to have even bigger impacts.
One of the things I'm curious about is you mentioned how the production of tomatoes right now has gone indoors, basically. I mean, it was much more an open field crop. What is now grown, I guess, in the open fields is more for canning and other uses than it, you know, than what is grown for the fresh market, actually under glass. Are there other crops that you're seeing this transition from an outdoor crop to an indoor crop kind of occurring? And as you look forward, you know, how far can we go with controlled environment ag? Will we grow everything indoors one day? Mm-hmm.
Some other crops, you know, you have your cucumbers, your bell peppers, you know, all those crops we have the genetics, we have the recipes, and we have the technology to grow them efficiently in controlled environments. We have a new wave of crops that we're still working on, you know, your leafy greens, your lettuce, you know, they're transitioning into controlled environment. And then you have demand for strawberries also to go in controlled environment. Now, in the U.S., the way we produce strawberries in the field is very, very efficient, you know, between North Carolina, Florida, and California. They're very efficient at producing fruit strawberries, so I feel like that will take more time because that system is efficiency at producing that. I think propagation will move in controlled environments at a faster rate. So those are the main crops and areas.
So one of the things that I'm really excited about for you and for us here at the Plant Sciences Initiative is the consortium that you're putting together around research opportunities for controlled environment ag. Could you just talk a little bit about what the thought is behind that, how that's going to work, and the kind of companies and entities that you see participating in that?
Absolutely. So I've been in the university for around six years. And like a faculty, I started working in my research program and getting funding, training students, creating science. And I realized there is not enough of one single program to really create a big impact, in my opinion. So with the help of the leadership, I decided to start looking across departments and across colleges. And start by reaching out to those faculty that have unique expertise that I think they can contribute to the controlled environment science now, but perhaps they're not working in the area just yet. And that can be multiple departments in multiple colleges. So we found a group of faculty that have unique expertise and that they want to work in the area of controlled environment. And so we're getting organized to actually have that, you know, high level of expertise around this field. The second thing that the coalition does is we also have, you know, very unique infrastructure at NC State. We have infrastructure with the Department of Horticulture. We have infrastructure at the college level, and we have infrastructure at the university level, right? This includes the Phytotron. This includes the new plant science building, and this includes the horticultural infrastructure and many things inside those opportunities or infrastructure. And so I feel now that NC State's position has one of the places, one of the best places to do research on the controlled environment. But, you know, the third layer of this coalition is that I want to make it very easy to work with the stakeholder in the industry. I want to create, you know, administrative agility, right? So we can have multiple ways to work with stakeholders and industry partners to actually solve the biggest challenges around controlled environment.
I think with that, Ricardo, I'll say you good luck with the coalition. It sounds really exciting to bring together all those different areas of expertise and then, you know, amplify that work through engagement with industry. And thanks for all the fascinating insights into this really interesting, new, evolving area of agriculture.
Thank you, Adrian, very much.
AgTech 360 is a product of North Carolina State University, the Center of Excellence for Regulatory Science in Agriculture, or CERSA, the North Carolina Plant Sciences Initiative, and the Southern IPM Center. With AgTech 360, we take a 360-degree view into emerging agriculture technologies that matter. Thanks for listening.